Testing, 1, 2, 3. Now that's what I'm talking about, that singing this morning. That's what I'm talking about. Wow. I just want to take a minute or two to address the congregation. We just got finished singing the fact that we are giving thanks with a grateful heart and that we're going to lay down our burdens. And I just want to just say this, that, you know, when the Lord made it clear to me that he was moving me in life, and I wasn't sure what that was all about, I had some burdens. And I was able to come here and lay them down, and the Lord used people in my congregation to take care of all the worries and concerns that I had in fantastic ways for myself, for my family. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being those people that did that for us. And I'm also so grateful for our congregation and how you guys have risen to the occasion of being royal family and welcoming other royal family from other parts of this country. I'm amazed at how you guys work together. I'm humbled by it, and I just want to say thank you for living out what I desire to teach you guys when we come here 3 days a week. Thank you for doing that and being a visible manifestation of what the grace of God and what the Word of God is all about. My congregation, I salute you. I got more to say, but I reach a certain point where I feel the tears coming, and I'm so arrogant that I'm gonna like stop before it and see if I can get through another part of this without crying again. And well, it's not gonna work. But at this time, I don't also want to introduce to you once again my friend, my mentor, my teacher, Pastor Robert McLaughlin.
Well, good morning. Morning. Did you have one of those mornings this morning? I've had one of those mornings where whatever could go wrong went wrong. And all I remember is around 4:30 in the morning, waking up this morning, and I had 204 pages of the letter A. And what does that mean? Well, that means I was studying last night, and my finger got stuck on the letter A. And about an hour and a half later, I woke up and I said, oh, I got a lot of pages of A. And it reminded me of The Shining. You know, all work and no play makes Jack a very dull boy. So if I say, hey, it means it's in my notes and I haven't had a chance to take it out. But one of the reasons why I did that and I did it last night is because, and I did ask Pastor Farley permission, though he doesn't like when I ask him permission for things, but I feel it's my responsibility to submit myself to him and his authority, being the leader of this conference. And I asked him permission if I could just switch off on something a little bit different this morning that's been on my heart. And he, of course, gave me permission. And it does go along with our studies of what we've been trying to note this entire week. So I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. And in this particular message, Mark Pomeroy is going to be doing something to me that I challenged him to do. And when he does it, I will respond with the appropriate response. And I think that you'll enjoy it. And it's going to be dedicated to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most of all, it's going to be dedicated to my good friend, Pastor John Farley, and the great time we've had here at Lighthouse Bible Church. So this morning, I'm going to conclude my teaching on the subject of unity with something that I would like to have documented as a part of my contribution to this special work, with this special week on unity, as to one of the main reasons why I am here and why I am still teaching. I am here, and I am still teaching, by the way, and one of the main reasons why I'm still here, after being diagnosed to at least die 4 times, that is not bragging, that is simply a fact. One of the main reasons why I am here is because of this gentleman standing behind me. And I mentioned some things in the past, but if I happen to repeat myself, please forgive me. But I had Pastor Rory Clark on the line, phone line this morning, and these are the kind of things that happen at the conferences all the time. He was going to give a little excerpt over the phone congratulating Pastor John and Lighthouse Bible Church for their first conference. And he came home last night from being in Taiwan. He walked into his home, and he had cameras stolen, television stolen. He had his entire stereo system being stolen. The house was a wreck. And so he was getting ready to call the police. And first of all, he had to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom, and on the floor is a young gentleman who drank two bottles of his booze that he found in the liquor closet and was sound asleep on the bathroom floor with a pillow, so that Pastor Rory Clark caught the thief, called the police, and said, "We got a thief in the bathroom." And he said he wasn't able to call in because of all the different things that that accompanies, but he did send you his regards. But these are the funniest things. I mean, it only happens to God's people, it seems, to come home and find the thief sound asleep in the bathroom with all the goods in his hands. And I guess you had the lesson is don't drink from Pastor Rory Clark's liquor closet. But throughout the years, I have had a few best friends who were there and kept the unity of the faith and helped pull me through when I needed them the most. And Pastor John Farley has been there right on top, where I can count on my left hand, only my left hand, the amount of real, true friends that I have had, some of whom, more than one I hear this morning, that actually have been there for me in times when I needed to be built up and I needed to have the unity of the body of Christ there. And so, in honor of my Lord and Savior, I would like to express my thankfulness and gratitude to my Lord for allowing me the privilege of knowing your pastor, Pastor John Farley, as one of the fantastic examples of what it means to experience true biblical friendship and unity within the royal family. And so this morning, I'd like to begin with a few principles. The first one is experiencing true biblical friendship and unity within the royal family is a privilege that only few of us will ever have. This is according to the Word of God. This is not my opinion. Again, experiencing, and notice I said experiencing, because many of us do have these type of friends, but we don't know it until adversity brings it out. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 11:19 that says, there must be schisms and problems and divisions among us so that those who may be approved may become manifested to us. In other words, you never really know who your friends truly are until you go through times of adversity. In fact, go there. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at verse 19 with me this morning. And John, we do have a lot of things to do. But, you know, I would like to just say one thing, if you don't mind. I don't see the rush this morning of leaving. I think that I'd like to have the congregation and everyone just enjoy the time, the last day being together, and forget about having to be right on schedule so much that we become cloned and we miss out on the sensitivity of what we're really here for. And so if I get off base a little bit, it's because of that. But 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11:18. Paul says, "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you." And remember, this is the church that love was building. This is the church that had to have people say, well, we want to have a church like the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was given the greatest chapter on love because they were the least loving church in the ancient world. That's why they got 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It wasn't because they excelled in love. It was because of the fact that they lacked love. So when someone says we're just like the church of Corinth, what they're saying is we are a carnal bunch of idiots who have divisions among us and know absolutely nothing about love. And Paul the Apostle had to write 1 Corinthians 13. That's the historical background of the chapter. So he's dealing with that because they would come together for what they call love feasts. interpretations in our day and age would be potluck dinners. And what they would do is they would have those who came from homes that could afford Chateau Lafite Rothschild and Chateaubriand and filet mignon and the finest steaks and the lobsters. They would sit on the right side and they would participate and partake of their food. And then the hot dog fellas in the cracker juice for boys would sit on the left side and they would partake of theirs, and they were actually separating from one another. And there was a division that was being formed, and they went through more divisions than that because of the fact that the church was way out of order. One of the things that was way out of order was the fact that the women were out of order and were not submitting to the authority of the men, who were way out of order because they were not taking the responsibility of that authority, which was manifested by their long hair, which was a sign of rebellion in the ancient world, as it was in the early 60s in our country. And if you have long hair, this is not an indictment against you, but the Bible does say in the New Testament that it is against nature for a man's hair to be long. No one really defines what long is, but we could say this, it should be longer than the wife's. But anyway, that's another story. It says, in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. Why? Now notice, for there must also be factions, divisions, schisms among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. So I say all of that, those that are approved may become evident among you. I say all of that because we probably have more friends than we realize our best friends are, who they are, but we won't really know that until adversity brings it out. But I can say that adversity has brought out my friendship with Pastor John Folley. And one of the first things I want to say this morning in giving you this statement is that I've experienced this. So we're talking about not just the knowledge of it, but experiencing true biblical friendship and true biblical unity within the royal family is a privilege that only a few of us will ever have. I have, and I thank God for it. Remember this principle. The Bible teaches it. The smarter you are, the fewer friends you will have. The smarter you are, the fewer friends you will have, because you have to be very careful who you let your guard down to. Proverbs 18:24 warns us about trusting too many people as your true friend when it says, a man of many friends comes to ruin. That's why you have to be very careful what you say to people, especially when you're being transparent with them and telling them about your weakness. But a man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this passage actually teaches that true friendship is a very rare thing and very hard thing to find. Experiencing true biblical friendship and unity within the royal family of God is where you can have a friendship relationship which is stronger than with your immediate family. Many of you can testify right now that there are people in this room that you are friends with that you are much closer to than members of your own family. Why? Because of what we've seen all week long with the unity of the faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and thinking the same things. So when we experience true biblical friendship and unity within the royal family of God, you can have a friendship relationship which is stronger than with your immediate family. In other words, distance and time and relationships are not the object in this kind of relationship whatsoever. The issue is having the mind of Christ. True friendship, such as the one I have had the privilege of experiencing with, I've called him PJF last night because I was too tired to type out his name all the time, but with Pastor John Folley, was based upon the fact that Pastor John Folley never tried to upstage me or compete with me. One of the things my wife asked me this morning, because she wanted to say something during Q&A, and sometimes the wives of pastors and the wives of deacons feel like it's not their place. It is your place if God leads you to do so. But she asked me, has it been brought up, the principle of the fact that God will not give you that which is your own if you're not faithful to another man's ministry? Now, the principle has been taught here, but I'd like to say Pastor John Folley was faithful to my particular ministry without trying to upstage me without trying to compete with me. As one pastor said, his goal was, after he was ordained, was to take as many people from me as he could. And this was documented by a couple of individuals, including one that I consider very, very reputable, that he actually said that, and that he wanted to actually take people from me. I don't know where they get these things from, but the Bible says, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another man's ministry, God will not give you that which is your own. Your pastor, teacher, Pastor John Folley, has been faithful to my ministry and to Grace Bible Church, and look what God gave him. A beautiful home, a great bunch of people, a nice, beautiful church, fantastic friends, great deacons, and God has blessed him. Why? A part of his reward for being faithful to another man's ministry. And that deserves a nice round of applause for the man, kind of man he is. Now, a friend like Pastor John Folley will love you as they love themselves. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 17, you can't really be a true friend unless, first of all, you love you, as you shall love your neighbor as you love what? Yourself. A man is told that he should love his wife, and we always focus in on, you shall love your wife as what? As Christ loved the what? Christ loved the church, right? You shall love your wife as Christ loved the church, right? We'll go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you how a lot of times people have been just programmed to think something. How many times have you actually quoted that verse, you shall love your wife as Christ loved the church, but left out something else that's very important in Ephesians chapter 5? It says, husbands, Ephesians 5, verse 28, ought also to love their own wives as their own what? Bodies. Do you see that? First we're told to love Christ, love our wives as Christ loved the church. Then we are told we are to love our wives as we love our own bodies. See, we always focus in on the other one, don't we? Because we're programmed. But what does it mean? It means that if you love yourself, men, you'll be able to love your wife. Show me a man that doesn't love his wife with the love of Christ. I'll show you a man whose main problem is he doesn't love himself. And he doesn't know himself according to what God does. And therefore, when we quote these verses, don't be so familiar with it that you quoted it just like you did. And by the way, I've done that for years too. But in studying the Word of God, we compare Scripture with Scripture. And that's another one to add with the laws of marriage, that a man should love his wife as he loves himself. That's how a marriage will make it. That's how friendships will make it. Let me illustrate this with a passage. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 17. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 17.
You just call up my name. And you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again.
I got a friend. And let me tell you a story about a friend. Every time Mark plays something, I'm going to tell you a story about one of my friends. First story I'd like to tell you about is about the Miami Crab story. The Miami Crab story was with Pastor John Folley, when Pastor John and myself and Ray Almeida Jr. and Ray Almeida Sr. went down to Joe's Stone Crabs. And when we went there, we told Pastor John, you know, we're going to pick you up at the airport. We're going to pay for your air flight. And all you have to do is take us out for dinner. And so we didn't know. We didn't know. So we paid Pastor Folley's plane fare. And, you know, we picked him up at the airport. Came to about $300 or $400. Then we went to All You Can Eat at Joe's Clams. And the bill came out to $850 in Miami. But that wasn't the funny part. The funny part was we ate all of the stone crabs you could eat. The next morning, we got in the elevator, and we're riding down the elevator, and all we can smell is fish. And so what we did is we put our deodorant on. We made sure we took a shower. We did everything that cleanliness actually should do to keep themselves clean, not knowing that fish come through the pores of your body. And so as we're in the elevator, you have four men who smell nothing more than like a bag full of old clams and old stone crabs. And the fish smell was way there, way up in the air. And we're coming down from a hotel. I don't know if they thought we had a wild party the night before or not. But all of a sudden we come down and someone said, you folks are from New England. Where are you folks from? And we said, we're from New England. And one of the individuals from Florida said, can't you smell? They all smell like that from New England. It only happens to Pastor John Folly and myself. But that's one of our stories. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 17, Jonathan and David were true friends, and they made a vow of true friendship. Notice, Jonathan made and David were true friends, and they made a true vow of friendship. You know, Pastor Folly and myself has never made a vow of friendship. We've just made a life of friendship. Our friendship goes way beyond vows. And in 1 Samuel 20, verse 17, they made a vow. And that, by the way, there's a passage that actually says something that the homosexuals use to actually back up the fact that they think homosexuality is accepted by God. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 1, look at verse 26. Verse 26 of 2 Samuel chapter 1, it talks about David and Jonathan. And it talks about the death of Jonathan. And in 2 Samuel 1:26, this is after Jonathan's death, David said this. And David, it says, I'm sorry, go back to 1 Samuel 20, verse 17. That's the verse I wanted to give you. Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his what? Own life. He loved him as he loved his own life. Now, in verse 26, I want you to see that again. David said, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. Now, notice what he said. Your love to me was more wonderful than the love of women. In category 3 love, which is love, having friendship, you can actually have a stronger relationship with someone of the same sex than you can have with someone of the opposite sex. In fact, the Bible teaches it's very difficult to have a close relationship with someone of the opposite sex because inevitably there's always that temptation of falling into a relationship that turns out to be ungodly. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. But I will say to you that the love that I've had with Pastor Folly has been a love greater than the love I've had for women in my life. The exception, of course, is my wife because she's here this morning. But other than that, seriously, our love has been like that. And I thank God for loving a man and having a man like that in my life. The point is, as Jonathan and David were true friends, so were John and I, and so are we. And that's why the love there was based upon he loved him as he loved his own life. Our love and your love and true friendship should be based upon a mutual soul rapport. What does that mean, a mutual soul rapport? It means that to have good, a true friendship, which will strengthen your local assembly, because if you want unity to be manifested in your local assembly and you want it to be strong, allow true friendships to be raised up. That will strengthen the unity in your local assembly. I said true friendships. I did not say get involved with cliques. I just recently, in the last year and a half, had a clique that hindered and really destroyed part of my ministry because I let certain individuals stay amongst each other and a clique was formed. I'm not talking about a clique. I'm talking about having a true friendship. A true friendship will strengthen the relationships within the local assembly and therefore the unity as well. When I say a soul rapport, I mean having a true friendship is a two-way street. If love isn't returned, forget it. And the principle of this type of love is found in Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at what? All times. That's how you can find out whether or not you've got one. They love at all times, and as a brother or a brother is born for adversity. The Hebrew says, a friend loves at all times, and as a brother, he's born for adversity. Pastor John Folley has been an individual who has been born for adversity. And to be my friend, he was born for super grace adversity, because it seems like we're constantly getting into trouble the higher we go in the spiritual life and the more problems we face. But he has always been there, and I'm very thankful for that and wanted to give him that honor this morning. And when it says a friend loves at all times, the Hebrew word for love is the Hebrew word ahav. A-H-A-B, ahav, you pronounce the B like a V in the Hebrew. It means to make their love for you manifested. In other words, anyone can say, I love you, show me your love. To make your love evident, to make it apparent, anyone can say it, but very few can manifest it, make it evident, and make it apparent. Pastor John Folley has done all three. In times of trouble, friends show themselves friends. They show themselves friends. And when you're in trouble, you'll find out who your friends really are. True friends, as Pastor John Folley, is a type of individual who will never stab you in the back. And that's why God will bring in situations that will wake you up to the fact that you've got some people in your life that claim to be your friends, but they will end up stabbing you in the back. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. There have been many people that have tried to break up our friendship, and they haven't even gotten to first base. You know why? Because between me and him, we have the same thing that you can have with people in the local assembly, to have a great friendship. Let the Lord be between me and thee. And that's how a relationship and a friendship makes it. So he who covers a transgression seeks love.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count.
Count on him.
Well, that's what friends are for.
Pastor John Folley, that's what friends are for.
And in bad times,
it reminds me of a story. This was a story about two individuals in a hotel room. And I walked up into a hotel room, and we were there at the hotel room. I was with Pastor John Folley, and this man started yelling and screaming at me, telling me, who do I think I am? I don't care about him. And who do I think I am? To hell with you. And you need someone to put you in your place. Who the hell do you think you are? And Pastor John Folley just went right in front of me. I'm serious. He went right in front of me. He said, you got a problem with this guy, mister? You got a problem with this guy? And I said, yeah, do you have a problem with me? To the guy, you have a problem with me? John goes, yeah, I have a problem with you. And I said, you don't have a problem with me, because if you have a problem with me, you have a problem with him. And so I went to just attack the guy. The guy pushed me. Pastor John just got down on his hands and knees, allowed me to flip over, fall on the bed. Then he got up and he said, now you have a problem with me, mister. And I said, guys, would you just please stop it? I said, Pastor John Folley, my assistant pastor, meet my brother Bill, Bill McLaughlin. It's a true story. That's totally true, I'm telling you. You see, true friends never stab you in the back, and they protect your back. And Pastor Folley did that. You don't see that side of John, but trust me, when that Irish temper gets up, well, just ask Roberta. She knows what the Irish temper can do at certain times. Also, he who covers a transgression does seek love, but when you repeat a matter, you separate intimate friends. True friends never gossip. And true love, this love provides a pleasant and relaxing environment. When you have a true friendship, what do you have? A pleasant and relaxing environment. You don't have to watch out what you say or how you say it. You may even say it the wrong way. And by the way, if you've ever said something wrong or said something you shouldn't say in front of Pastor Folley, he has a way of making you feel like God is in the room. He'll just say, When he hums, that means you've just done something wrong, and you're better off just repenting, because he won't rebuke you. He'll just go, And his hum means, you shouldn't have said that, but I still love you anyway. But you're always locked around true friends, you see. True friends don't use things you say against you. They don't use things that you say against you. They never gossip. True friends never gossip about what their friends do that's wrong. People say, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A true friend will tell you when you've gone astray. That's right, they tell you, but they don't go around telling everyone else, I rebuked him because I was his friend. And that's why the Bible says about true friendship, when it comes to love in Proverbs 10:12, love covers all transgressions. You can relax around your true friends.
Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
This reminds me of the funky flying Mexican burger story. Yes, we were on an airplane, and all of a sudden we were on the plane for about 3 or 4 hours. It made us stop for 15 minutes. We had time to get off the plane. The next thing you know, we got back on the plane. And then all of a sudden, something happened. We heard this. Then the smell went up. Onions. Gross. Mexican sauce. Garlic. Every offensive smell you can imagine. And everybody's looking, what is that smell? And looking back, just as only John Farley can do, looking back in John Farley's chair is a man who's got the funky Mexican burger out like this, looking at everybody going like this, with the funky Mexican burger sauce coming down his mouth, all over his clothes, and he's about to do the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor John Farley. And these things happen. And so when we think about these particular friends, these particular subjects, notice I'm throwing in doctrine here. The Bible also says, because your true friends do not compete with you, therefore they will never stab you in the back socially or economically. I've had one man in the past 2 years take $50,000 from me who said he was a true friend. He robbed it from me. He stole it. Stole it from me when I was sick and I didn't have anyone protecting it. Stole $50,000. It was almost my entire life savings. Took it away as a true friend. Pastor Farley wouldn't touch a dime. In fact, his job, his role is the opposite way. He's constantly giving. And he is a man that I could trust my very own life, my family with, my wife with, my children with. That's what kind of man that you have as your pastor teacher. And I'm sure that you know all these things, but I just wanted to honor him. And I think it's important to note that, because be careful who your real friends are, because if you're like me, many times we make bad decisions when it comes to friendships, and it will turn around and haunt us. Also, of course, you may learn these things the hard way sometimes, but at least learn them. You may learn that, listen, someone screwed me, all right, shame, screw me once, right? Shame on them. Screw me twice, shame on who? Me. You may learn these things sometimes, and even the hard way. True friends also guard your privacy. Pastor Farley's that type of man. He has guarded the privacy of people. There's some of you who have gone through things and he's never even said one thing about you. He's always guarded your privacy, as he did with one young lady just here recently. Didn't tell me anything, just asked if I could speak to her. I did, but kept her life totally private. Friends never gossip or malign about you to others. And true friends protect your back. True friends protect your back.
Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend.
Reminds me of a story. We were in the Arizona conference, and all the guys were coming down the aisle to play. We had our uniforms on, and we were singing songs, and we were acting real funky, and the guys were all dancing. And I had everybody just come down the aisle. We're all coming down the aisle saying, it's good to be with Arizona, music in the background, making a grand entrance to have a lot of fun, a relaxed mental attitude. But Pastor John is just that type of guy that you just love playing tricks on. And what happened is that I said, you know what, here's what to do. Everyone, just stay behind. Let Pastor John be the first one that goes out down the aisle. And then we'll follow. John, you go down the aisle first, and then we'll all follow. Okay, now John, get real funky. So John goes down the aisle, starts walking in like this and playing, the music's playing. The rest of us guys go on the stage, and we're waiting for him. We stand up on the stage and go, John, what are you doing? And the poor guy's just looking around. He realized he was the only one dancing. John's just like, you know what he does? He laughs. Now, the average guy would have just threw a chair at our head, but not Pastor John Farley. And, of course, another principle, friends never gossip or malign about you to others. Isn't it good to have those friends? They protect your back. Experiencing true friendship and unity within the royal family of God with Pastor John Farley was and is free without hypocrisy. He's a man without hypocrisy. Mark, I want to go through the one with the phone call and then one and I'll close. But I want you to think about this because this is true. This kind of man you have. And, you know, someone asked me if I was playing this for a joke. I was not playing this for a joke. But one time I was going through something and Pastor John Farley doesn't have an ounce of insecurity, I think, in his body. At times, he'll just stand up for anyone. He doesn't care what he looks like, what he sounds like. He cares about love. He loves his wife dearly. He loves his children dearly. He loves his pastor. He loves his church. And one day when I was really down and out,
when
I get a phone
weary,
call.
Feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will drive them home. I'm on your side. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, will lay me down, like a bridge over troubled water.
Let's just take a break, all right, so I can figure out what planet I'm on and figure out what I'm supposed to do from here on out. Just a couple minutes. Thank you. What is it they say? I need a moment. Is that what it says? Yeah.